Welcome to Real Souls with yours truly, Peggy Bennett. I want to welcome a special guest on the show, Leah Zacharia.
Hello.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
I got your name right.
You did. Good job.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Leah is a former certified public accountant. Did not know that about you, my dear. Mm-hmm. Turned yogi entrepreneur. She took her first yoga class in 2006 and later decided to marry her business expertise with her passion for yoga and opened her first studio, Hot Yoga.
Yeah. Hot Yoga.
Hot Yoga in Queen Anne in 2009, followed by Sheffa Yoga in Roosevelt in 2013. And these are both located in Seattle, Washington. She lives in Seattle with her lovely daughter. And she has recently written a book called Seen, which I read, and I was so impressed. I loved how raw you were. Nothing was sugar-coated in it. And it was just a total page-turner for me. it's a memoir, and it takes you through the journey, basically, of your life, your wounds, your joys. It talks about from on the outside, everything looked picture perfect. And I want you to kind of go from there on your thoughts and talk a little about your journey and what led you through.
Yeah. So, you know, I think for most of us, I know at least for me, we go through life and society and familial norms. They teach us go to school, get a good education, get a good job, get the house, car, the kid, the dog, and everything's going to be perfect.
Right.
And so I grew up in a really dysfunctional home, and so I went after that. I was like, if that's how I can be happy, I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to do the things that I'm told to do, and I'm going to do all those, exactly the roadmap to success in our culture. And so I did all that. I, you know, got a good education, good job, house, car, kid. And I was miserable, just miserable. I had all the things, but I wasn't fulfilled inside of me. And so I knew that I was meant for greatness. I knew that I had something more to offer my life and other people. And so I kept always listening to those little whispers. And that's when I decided to change my whole life and break free from conformity and start to live a life of purpose, which is where all of this kind of came from going from being a CPA. I was a CPA for 15 years, right? So that was the good job that I got. You know, I got the name on the door, had, you know, six-figure income, and I thought I had made it. And but I just wasn't happy. And so it was interesting when I was in my career, you know, I had met one of my cohorts, and him and I were dreamers, and we'd go to lunch and we would be like, oh, you know, we should do this business or this business. And I had just started practicing yoga for about a year and a half. And you know, so he was like, we should open a yoga studio. And it was really just a dream. It was really just a dream. And then one day, because he lived up on Queen Anne, he's like, hey, let's go check out this spot that used to be a Jamba Juice up on Queen Anne. And I had never even been to Queen Anne. You know, I was still living on the east side of Seattle in the suburbs. And I was like, okay, well, let's just get coffee afterwards. Yeah. Let's get coffee afterwards. And just totally thinking that, you know, it was just a dream and we were just going to go check it out. And but I did that with him, and I walked into that old Jamba Juice and I knew, and like, this is it. This is.
Oh, wow.
This is how I can transform my life. And
so you felt really clear right there.
Oh, right
then.
Yeah, right there. I knew it. I'm like, this is it. This is how I'm going to do it. I was also going through a lot of personal shifts in my life. I was my marriage was really unhappy. I was wanting to really change my life. And I knew, like, this was it. Like, this was how, I didn't know how. I'd never opened a business before. I didn't know anything. But I was like, this could be the way for me to actually have a life of purpose and something that was more fulfilling, that was really for me and not just the external source of conformity of what society thinks success is, but actually truly living from my authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how Haute Yoga Queen Anne came about. I mean, literally, we decided to open. That was in February. We opened the studio in June of 2009. And people thought that we were straight crazy. Because 2009, do you remember the economy?
Right.
Oh, it was horrible.
Right.
It was horrible. So people were like, she's going through a midlife crisis. Right. Especially because of my life. I mean, I had it all, what people thought.
Right. And they're thinking you're crazy, yeah, especially this time to do this.
Yeah. She has a happy life. She has everything she wants. She's successful in her job. And she's going to try to open a business in the worst economic times. Like, what is she thinking? She's just lost her mind. And I, you know, a lot of my friends were literally just going like, she's lost it, you know. And I didn't care. Like, it was the most empowering time of my life where I was like, I'm going to do this for me. This is my time to cross the threshold into my own hero's journey to have a life that is mine and not by what I've been told to do forever that didn't fulfill me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we get really stuck in that. And so that's why I wrote the book, because I've gone through this journey to break free from conformity and to live a life of bigger purpose. And so that's why I wrote this book, to share my experience so that people could live more from their authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's go into a little of the darker side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't help but to, you know, talk about that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So in order to transform, you got to look at your stuff, right? You got to look at why what's kept you safe, right? And for me, when I was going through my divorce, because ultimately at that time I ended up, that's another reason why they thought I was crazy. So I was like, had it all, and then I was going to get divorced and like open a yoga studio and like dismantle everything, right? So at that time, you know, I tried to do my best to salvage the marriage. You know, we did couples counseling, we did all that stuff, but I think especially for women, it's like once you're done, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, he wasn't a bad person. I simply outgrew him, like, by far. We wanted completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I vowed that I, you know, there was a point where I was trying to fix the marriage and I was just like, we need help. We need to go to counseling. And so we started doing couples counseling, and that didn't really work for us. And it was so clear to me I needed to do my own personal work. And so that's when I started going to therapy twice a week for a year. And then I went once a week for another year after that. And I really dove into my primal cycle, which I talk about in my book. So in my book, I've created 5 cycles of what I believe the human experience goes through. And those cycles are primal, struggle, conform, transform, and purpose. So I had to go into my primal cycle. And my primal cycle is how was I born? What was my childhood? What was my experience? Because everything that happens, how we drive our life, is from the experiences of where we came from. Not only just what we experienced as children, but our ancestry. Right. So what happened, you know, from all our ancestry, that we carry that forward into our DNA, into our experience, and we will repeat the cycle over and over again unless we break it. And so that is what so much of my quest and my journey is to help people break the cycles of their ancestral past and their primal cycles that they've carried forward from where they've been in their childhood. So,
and even in a couple of those beginning chapters, at the end of the chapters, you actually have reflective questions to ask, which I thought that was brilliant.
Thank you. I mean, that was very purposeful, because when I wrote my book, I wanted to share my story, because people ask my story all the time because I'm a yoga teacher and I give little tidbits and all that stuff. But I wanted to write this book because I didn't want to just share my story, but I wanted people to do their own work, right? So it's kind of a memoir hybrid with self-help, right? Like, how can you journey into your own life and see what's up, right? And starting in that primal cycle of what happened? How were you born? Did your mom care for you? Did your dad want you? Like, what happened when you were little? You know, and for me, if you read my book, you know, it was tough when I was young. I had a lot of really traumatic things happen to me. You know, I was a product of an alcoholic father and a mother that was neglectful. And so my deep-seated wound was abandonment. And that carried me all the way through my life. And that is why I went so far on the conformity of trying to, like, do everything just so, and really starting, really being over-controlling. I call it over-functioning, because I was so controlling that I would over-function and I would try to hold up the world, because if I didn't, I felt like if I didn't hold up the world and do everything, everything would collapse underneath me and everybody would leave. Right?
Because you were just trying to be the perfect,
yeah,
perfect daughter, the perfect everything.
That perfect everything, so that I wouldn't be left, right? Because ultimately, in my primal cycle, I was abandoned. And so that neglect, you know, was the cycle that I was going to repeat, or was my coping mechanism. So I talk about this in your primal cycle. There's other ways of coping, right? So mine was control and overfunctioning, but a lot of people numb, right? They numb with work, sex, food, alcohol, drugs, right? Some people are recluse and they just completely shut off and they just are shy and don't, you know, and just kind of retract from the world. But there's different ways of coping, if you will, to try to function in your life based on how you've grown up. And so that is you have to do that work in order to really understand what the root of why you behave. And if you want to transform into the person that you ultimately know lives inside of you, because we all do. I mean, I had so many whispers of wanting more and knowing that I was supposed to do something different. But we just don't listen to the whispers so often, because we get so scared based on the other stuff that, you know, that we go through and the habits that we create and the cycles that we repeat. It's constant.
So you go from the primal, and you are totally answering one of my questions I had, which is perfect, because I was going to ask, how did you come up with these? So the primal into the struggle.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, because these cycles I truly, literally, I just created based on my own experience and what I have witnessed other people going through. Because, I mean, a lot of my yoga teaching is yoga psychology, and I hear a lot of people's stories, and I hear a lot of, and I watch people's behavior. So this was something that I created, these five cycles. But since the book's come out, and the more that I talk about this, it's very in line with other psychological profiling. I don't know if you've heard of Joseph Campbell's, like, The Hero's Journey. But there's other people that have kind of said something similar to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was really awesome, because I was like, see, it's just said in a different way.
In a different way.
Yeah. And so, but this is really what we do go through as human beings. And if we can understand that, we can actually start to master our life and have a more purposeful life. So, yes. So the primal cycle is how you're born, your family life as a young child. And then the struggle is like adolescence, essentially, when you start to become more independent. And this is an important cycle because this is where we truly don't know how to find our own internal joy. We seek so externally for approval. So, you know, I talk about like in my book, when I was in junior high, like I literally would count how many people would say hi to me. Right.
Oh, right.
And
right.
like, and that was my validation of love. Mm-hmm. Right. That was my validation of like, oh, I'm accepted. People like me. Mm-hmm. And so because we're in that weird stage of breaking free from our families and more independent. But we have no idea how to tap into it for ourselves. So we look everywhere. I mean, that's why so many teenagers are having so much anxiety now because of social media.
Yeah. I was just going to say you can translate that into, mm-hmm. yeah, Instagram likes or Facebook likes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that drives this place of like, oh, my gosh, how many likes can I get? What are people seeing and doing? And so it really drives this place of anxiety because everybody feels the lack and scarcity that they are, which is mm-hmm. not true because social media is not reality. It's only showing the good parts of your life. We all know this.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I mean, it's just the weirdest phenomenon. Like nobody really wants to see all the crap that you're going through in your life, but then it's skewed because then everything is just perfect. And then it breeds this like perfection of everybody has more than I do, which is a lie.
Right. Right.
So it's gotten even worse, I believe.
And
over
here
time.
You have a teen. Is she a teenager?
Yeah. I have a 16 year old. Yeah.
She's 16. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter is 15.
Yeah.
And I have a 13 year old boy.
Yeah.
So
and it's just
we're
so...
in the thick of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. And I just, and you know, I have some of my close friends and mentor young girls too. And it's just across the board. The anxiety is just so high because of that seeking that external validation for approval that we're not going to ever get. But that's what, from the outside, right? We have mm-hmm. to go inside. So that's the things. But that's what we got to go through. I mean, even when I talk to my daughter about it, of like, you got to, you know, trying to have her meditate and like go within and she's going to have to do her own journey, mm-hmm. right? Because we all go through the journey. Mm-hmm. We can't skip these cycles, in my opinion. But what I'm hoping is that I can help facilitate understanding that you can go through it a little faster with a little mm-hmm. bit more understanding. So like my daughter is giving my book to some of her friends.
Oh.
You know, so I'm like, what would I have done with this book had I read it when I was 16 years old? Mm-hmm. You know, to have just in the background of my mind of like, oh, I don't actually have to, in order to get love, I don't have to have an external source. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have social media. I don't have to have a guy. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have any of that. That's just enhancements to my life.
Right.
My life comes from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just and then also the conformity piece, which is the next cycle. And so we go through primal struggle, conformity, and this is where most people stay. And this is where people just get stuck of just like
because it's safe.
It's safe.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's like to do anything bigger and more than that takes extreme bravery, vulnerability.
Like your CPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Job.
Yeah.
Right?
That was my conformity.
It was safe.
So safe. So safe. Like, come on.
You could depend on your income.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. So it's like when I opened my first studio in 2009, I stayed in my job for 2 years because I was afraid to leave it, right? So I worked so much. And I for a year, I slept for 3 hours a night because I was too afraid to leave that job because that was my safety net. And that was all I ever knew. And it's not only that it becomes safe, but it becomes your identity. Mm-hmm. So how do I leave that? And who's Leah Zachariah without the CPA, mm-hmm. without the name on the door of the tax director, you know, that has all of this of what people think is success?
Mm-hmm.
How do I let that go? You know, so I got a little help from that and I got fired is what happened. Which is something that I was super ashamed of, like. For years, I didn't really tell anybody that. Actually, the first time I admitted that was I was speaking in front of 100 people, telling my journey and talking about vulnerability. And I was just like, well, and owning shame. And I'm like, well, here you go. I've always told people that I left corporate America, but I think, which is true, but I didn't tell them how, because I wanted them to think that I went out with guns blazing, like, ha ha, I'm living my life. I'm living my truth. Like, I did it, you know, fingers in the air, right? But I was like, no, I was pushed from the nest. I was called in and said, it's time for you to go. Like, you're not here anymore. And I had to deal with that loss of identity. But I'm so grateful that happened. Like, I'm so grateful. I've since actually written a letter to my ex-boss saying thank you for doing that for me. Mm. Because I would have never... That was the push where I had to go, like, time to fly, Leah. Time to really cross the threshold into your purpose and trust that the universe is going to support you. Mm-hmm. And so... That's how I really broke free. I mean, I was already doing it, right? I had already left my marriage. I opened my studio. I was doing these things. I was becoming a yoga teacher. I wasn't even a yoga teacher when I opened my first studio, which is really backwards. Most people are yoga teachers first, but I trusted the vision, I guess.
And yes, and you had that honestly, business background,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. Right. And honestly, I was just freaking naive. Right. And naivety has been my best friend, actually, because if you really truly know what it's going to take in order to do what the things that I've done.
A lot of times you wouldn't do
it.
Oh,
no. Right? There's no way I would have done it. Right. Because it's too much effort. It's too much work. There's so much fear. Right. So the naivety has actually really helped me. But yeah, so I broke free from that conformity, and that was the last push. And so I became a yoga teacher. I opened my first studio with two business partners who were also financial-minded men. They were not yogis, and it was our business became profitable very quickly. But it was owning small business is no joke, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a 24/7 love affair. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not into it, like, I don't know how, you know, it's going to work. So I bought them out because they were just like, they just didn't have the passion for it. And they wanted out. And all three of us couldn't make a living splitting the profits of a yoga studio. Mm-hmm. Just not happening. So I bought them out. So that was really when I started to live in my purpose, is when, you know, I literally was done with corporate America, became a yoga teacher, bought out my partners, and during the process of buying out my partners and trying to get a loan in a still very bad economic time, two women came in and asked me if I wanted to open a second yoga studio. And I was like, I'm just trying to get this one. But it was really a blessing. I call them silver platter gifts from the universe, because they just showed up right at the right timing. I almost lost the loan, and I was like, hey, do you want to maybe be a part of this? And they're like, yeah. Well, fortunately, I got the loan, and they didn't have to be a part of it. But I said, well, I'm not going to turn down opportunity when it shows up at my door, even though I wasn't ready. Like, this is a huge piece. Even when you don't feel ready, you got to keep going. And so I was like, do you want to still look into the second yoga studio? So that's how Sheffa Yoga was born. I took my time with that, and it was like a year and a half later that I opened that. I was going to open with them, those two women, but they got a taste of what entrepreneurial life is like too, and they were like, no. No.
We'll leave that for you.
Yeah, so I ended up opening Sheffa on my own. And by the time 2013 came around, I owned two yoga studios solely. I was 100% owner in both. So, and it's just not, that's the transformation process, which is, that is the next cycle of crossing the threshold into, like, completely being willing to fail. And trusting yourself and tapping into your internal source, right? Nobody was giving it to me. Nobody but myself. I had to dig deep inside of me and to be who I really wanted to be. So it was a very exhilarating time. And every time I transform, because once you actually break free from the conformity cycle, you'll transform many, many times. But
what do you mean by that?
Meaning, like, I believe I'm on my third self, right? So, like, things happen in your life. So, as you get deeper into purpose, after you transform, you're going to evolve. You're going to continue to evolve and grow and expand. So then you, versions of you will continue to unveil.
Okay, got it.
So you'll transform over and over again if you've broken free from conformity. Because conformity, you'll stay stuck safe, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're in transformation, if you're in purpose, you're going to grow.
It's continually. Like you continually evolve.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah. And you've broken free from mm-hmm. that place that's stuck. And that you, so then you're flying, right? So, and you're going to continue to, one of my really close friends, Karina, said to me, she's like, because I feel like I'm transforming again, is this like the liquefaction of a butterfly, right? You know, mm-hmm. butterfly completely liquefies into nothing. And then comes back and can be even more beautiful, mm-hmm. right? So it's this constant liquefaction of yourself into something more purposeful. Because when you're in your purpose, it's going to continue to be an exponential growth of more things. I mean, like, right, I crossed the threshold from being a CPA. I now own 3 yoga studios, a teacher training school, so I teach people how to become yoga teachers, and I've become an author, right? So all these things, like, I didn't ever know that I was going to become an author, right?
Right,
I didn't,
right.
You know, I had no idea, you know. I didn't even know I was going to be a yoga teacher, right? I didn't know. So, but when I crossed that threshold, and now I see through the writings of my book, so much was uncovered through writing this book. The biggest truths of my life were revealed from this book.
Yes.
I mean, my relationship.
Very raw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With my 9-year relationship completely collapsed through, you know, looking at myself. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing on the external that told me the truth. It was from tapping into my internal source. Mm-hmm. So then things change, right? Because more truth is revealed, more change shifts, and then you become something else, right? So now I'm on this trajectory of possibly living in LA and opening another studio, or, you know, there's just so much more for me.
I was going to ask you what's the future holding for you?
Yeah. So right now I'm starting to live between 2 cities, LA and Seattle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
just started that a few months ago. And I literally 2 months ago.
How did that come to be?
Oh my gosh. That's a crazy long story, but I'll nutshell it. I went to a training in LA mm-hmm. for yoga psychology, and I was about 6 months into past my long time breakup, right? And so I was getting through the heartache, and I went to LA, and I'd always wanted to live in California, always. And I went, and I'm like, I belong here. I just belong here. So I just started manifesting. I'm a huge believer in manifestation. Mm-hmm. You put out there to the world what you want.
Yes, me too. Mm-hmm.
Action, and then letting it go, right? That's what manifestation is. And so I just put it out there. And then a few months later, I went back down. I called my ex-business partner. And through writing my book, him and I had reconciled to a place where we were just kind of friends. Like, we didn't hang out with each other, but we were just kind of friends. Bridged the gap, if you will, you know, water under the bridge type of thing. But I was like, when I bought him out, he told me he was going to open a studio in Venice, and that's where I wanted to live. So I was like, I should just call him up. I just got a little whisper, like, call up Brian and see if you have, he has any information for you. And I called him up, and he's like, hey, I live here now, because I thought maybe he was back in Seattle. Uh-huh. He's like, come down and I'll show you around. And so I end up going down to LA. My ex-business partner, who I've had a very, you know, tumultuous relationship at the end, is now showing me my potential next ventures. And then he's like, I'm coming up to Seattle next Saturday or this Saturday, and let's talk more. And so I saw him on Saturday, and we had this big coming to Jesus about what happened between him and I. And he was actually coming back to Seattle to check on his condo because it was empty. And so we had this really huge healing in exchange. And then he's like, do you want to live in this condo? And I was like, really? And the next morning, I've never heard a voice so loud. It said to me, it said, take his place and get rid of everything you own.
And wow.
So I did it. So I literally gave everything away that I own, including my bed that I slept in with my ex-husband and my ex-boyfriend, like a very big energetic purge, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm living in his condo in Queen Anne, which is crazy. And he is one of my go-to people in LA that's helping me find a new business venture. So
how exciting.
I know. So I'm literally like bouncing weekly commutes to I'm not quite yet. That's the goal, is weekly commutes. But right now I'm doing twice a month, so that potentially to open another studio down there. And I just am called there because I feel like I talked about, we transform over and over again. Mm-hmm. I just feel called there because I feel like I have reached levels in my leadership where I want to be in front of people that I think will continue to challenge me. And LA has so much opportunity, right? And there's so many creatives.
Oh,
there.
I can totally see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I belong there. So that's kind of what's next for me. But that's what I talk about. That's why it's so important to break free from the conformity, because we can transform over and over and over again into greater heights and new experience. And potential is limitless. Like, we're limitless humans that we can continue to evolve all the time if we let ourselves. But it takes massive amounts of courage and walking through fear and vulnerability. It's not an easy process. But that's why I share my story, because I walked through those places, and I want that for everybody. I want everybody to have that in their life. Yeah.
And I was going to do this in the very introduction, but I have to do a quick plug for Donnie Ray. Mm. That is actually how you and I know each other, is, and she runs a common thread throughout your book of what a wonderful friend she has been, just a supportive friend for you.
Yeah, she... oh my gosh, she's been through it. She's the one friend that's still with me, through it all. Like, so a lot of my relationships, I'm still friends, but like people that I like spend time with. Right.
Right.
Like, she is somebody that she's like one of my closest confidants, and she has been there to help me transform through, I went through a body transformation, and she was that person, that got me through that. And then she, has been there through all of this and continues. We get closer and closer as time goes on. And so, yeah, she's been amazing. She's my best friend. And we need people in our lives that are going to hold us up too. So it's like this play between not needing the external, mm-hmm. but like I said, we need the external too, right? Mm-hmm. But as enhancements to our lives and for support. But if we can know that we can, everything that we need is internally inside of us, like we have our own power, then we actually can utilize the external sources more efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. And we can actually see them in a more grateful light too, mm-hmm. and not really take advantage of them, right? Because it's like, again, it's like this cherry on top. I have that, my own power and my own self-worth, but to have somebody like Donnie Ray in my life is just a beautiful enhancement.
Right.
And somebody that's going to continue to kind of like help me remember, mm-hmm. Push me in a different way. So,
and you do the same with her.
Exactly.
Right.
The synergy is like, the same, which has mm-hmm. been a beautiful evolution too. Cause she started out as my coach, and she actually went through my teacher training program, and so now I'm her yoga coach. So
I know.
And so it's like this, that's the thing. That's what's mm-hmm. really cool about life, that we don't have to take on these roles and just stick with them. They can morph, into beautiful things.
So this is kind of like, it's kind of switching subjects, but mm-hmm. not really. For those who are interested in writing a book, mm-hmm. I hear it's just quite the undertaking. So congratulations just completing an actual book. But what words of wisdom would you have for those listeners that would that are interested in writing a memoir or any type of book for that matter.
Yeah. So your inner critic, that's a little voice inside your head, is going to want to beat you up. That was probably the biggest thing that I had to jump through the hurdle of, like, who am I to write a book? Who am I? Who's going to listen to this? Is this even compelling? Is anybody going to care? You know, that kind of imposter syndrome. I'm not a writer. You know, I'm not trained in that. So we do that in our life, and that's how we kind of get stuck. I'm not qualified, right? I don't have enough experience. So then we shut it down. So you can't listen to that inner critic. If you have something to say, say it. And you can get help. Like, I had editors that helped me through the development process of writing my book. There's people that can help you, but you don't have to be a writer to write a book. Our stories are important to be told, and that's how we learn and grow from each other, and that's how we see the humanness in one another. So don't listen to the inner critic. I mean, it's easier said than done, but I mean, I really had to power through that because I had to deal with that a lot. Even writing it, I would be like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And the next second I'm like, who am I to do this? Like, you know, it's a constant. I mean, I would watch my thoughts just like roller coaster within minute to minute. It's so crazy. And then also the second piece that's really tough is like, who's going to read this? And how am I going to affect those other people, right? So that's another reason. I can't even tell you how many people have told me, I would write a book, but I'm not going to write a book until, like, my mom's dead, you know? You know, or, like, my ex-husband is not around anymore, you know? Because they're, like, they can't imagine them reading the book. And I had to deal with that. I mean, everybody's story involves other people.
Right.
So how are you going to do this? And so I took some coaching from I did this writer's workshop that gave me some coaching and that addressed some of these things. It's like, you're going to say, oh my God, what if my mom reads this? And if you, and that person, I think it was Doreen Virtue, who said, if you write it with love, if you write it with good intention and not from a place of wound or revenge, you have every right to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I came towards it. Like, I had some stuff happen to me, and I tried my best to still come from a very compassionate, loving place to understand that people are doing the best that they can. And I believe that people are good. They're born good, but they learn fear and they get hurt. And so hurt people hurt people. So if you can come from a place of love, then it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have every right to do it. And
what's your family reaction with your book? Of course, I have to ask.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I also heard, like, the most unsuspecting people are going to have a problem with your book, and the people that you think are going to have a problem with the book don't have a problem with the book. And that's exactly what's happened.
Oh, interesting.
So, some of the people, the main characters in the book is that, like, my mom and my ex-boyfriend and my ex-husband and stuff, they're not reading it. So I don't know about my ex-husband and my ex-boyfriend because I don't really talk to them about it. But and I don't have a relationship with my mother, but my sisters told me that she's not going to read the book. So
okay.
There's that. But the side of my family that is like my biggest cheerleaders and supporters, they've had a tough time. And that's just because it shines the light on shame, right? Mm. Shame is the biggest beast, and I'm a shame hunter, right? So I tell my story so raw, right? No sugar
coating. It's very raw.
Yeah, like
right.
There's nothing, you know. And I think that that's why it's compelling, because usually people sugarcoat stuff because they're worried about hurting other people, or you know, or trying to just keep everything just so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this book is called Seen. I'm going to tell it like it is. Like,
right. Or don't write it at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
is that
like,
how you felt?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, I'm
if
not
going to do it.
Yeah. This is how it is. This is there's no sugarcoating this. This happened, and I'm going to write it in the most loving way. But this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't leave any stone unturned, and I didn't leave out any story that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that cast a shadow of like, our family isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I didn't really understand or know that would be a thing is like, The next generations didn't know, the younger generation didn't know of this dysfunction, right? Because it's not happening anymore. Mm. So they were really upset that now they know that this happened. But I'm like, but it happened and it's transformed. Mm-hmm. Like the relationship with my father and I is so beautiful. Mm. So beautiful. He just went on a yoga retreat with me. You know, so I mean, it's so that's the lesson, right? You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to hide it. Just own it. And I'm a huge believer that if you share your shame, it becomes neutralized.
Mm.
If you share your shame, it becomes neutralized. You talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer holds you hostage.
I like that. I haven't heard that before. I like that.
I just kind of coined that phrase a little recently because I'm so huge on it right now because I would just watch myself even in certain things that are coming through in my life. It's just like we want to just like, oh, I'll never tell anybody that.
Mm-hmm.
And that festers in our own body. It doesn't. We're not helping anybody. Mm-hmm. We're not helping. And I just, it's so crazy. The things that I talk about in my book, like I remember the story of my abortion, like I couldn't even say that word for years. Mm-hmm. Like nobody knew, nobody other than my partner. And now I talk about it like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It is something. I shouldn't say it. I shouldn't be. But you know what I mean? It rolls
right
up. I easily share it because it's part of my story and it's humanity and it's my right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I needed to do at that moment in time. But that's what I'm talking about. Shame is neutralized. If you talk about it, it no longer creates suffering. It actually creates an opening for people to understand their own humanity and that it's okay and that you're not bad. You're not bad.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know,
we all
have crap that happens in our life.
Right.
And it's not something that I'm proud of and I'm not advocating for it, but that's what I needed to do at that time. And again, my body, my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a message that can be sent and to help other people instead of holding it in.
Absolutely.
In the shame of what my people might think of me. Oh, goodness sakes. Right.
Absolutely.
But that's what shame is, right? It's like, oh my God, I'm bad.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
Exactly.
I'm bad. If anybody knows this about me, I'm horrible. No one's going to love me. I'm broken. I'll never have a partner. I'll never have love. I'll never have kids. Nobody will want me. You
right.
Know?
No, it's so true.
It's a lie.
So in the interest of time,
yeah.
we have to wrap things up, unfortunately. I mean, I'd love to keep on talking, but are there any other thoughts or, I mean, you've been it's so inspiring just having this conversation with you, but are there any final thoughts or words of wisdom or anything that you want to share?
Yeah. So my quest in my life is to be a channel for truth. And if we can all do that, right? If we can use our voice, if we can share our stories, if we can come from a place of love that's, you know, rather than fear, then we can all make a mark on the world, one that is positive, one that transforms negative and darkness into light. And so that's my encouragement. If you read my book, that was something that was completely unexpected, that it's such a page turner, but almost everybody that reads it very quickly, which is really cool because at the times when I'm like, does this even matter? Does anybody even gonna think this is good? So it's really a sweet thing that it's a page turner. But I do recommend if you read it fast, go back and read it again and do those questions. Do the work for yourself to see where it is that maybe you can transform a cycle, a thought, you know, so we can end some of the darkness in our own life and the suffering in our own life and help others by sharing our stories.
Mm, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So are you out there in social media? Do you have a website?
Yeah.
How can people find you is what I want to know.
Yeah. So my handles on Instagram and Twitter as Leah Loves Yoga. And then I'm on Facebook as Leah Higgins Zachariah. My website, you can go to my Haute Yoga Queen Anne website or Chef of Yoga to get more information about my book, but I'm actually building my personal website now. LeahZacharia.com is coming soon. So everything that I do will be on that website, but you can find me on my individual studio websites with my book information as well and social media.
So, okay. Your book, and it's called Scene,
yeah.
Memoir.
Yeah, and you can get that on Amazon or any place online that sells books online, Barnes & Noble, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here, my
yeah,
dear.
It's I know so nice you're, to sit with you.
I know you're a busy woman.
Yeah. Yeah, but these are the important things. Like I said, this is the stuff I love to do.
It's wonderful. And for those interested in working with me, Peggy, you can reach me at straighttotheheart.net. I'm offering a 8-step coaching program on how to manifest your soulmate, speaking of manifesting, and along with my matchmaking services. So again, this is Peggy with Real Souls. Please listen, subscribe, and share. And thank you, and have a great day.